Thank you, Pastor Matt. I just want to start, and then we're planning to do something together, because that's where conflict starts, right? Together. I did something. I haven't seen my wife for a week, and she'd been away, and I thought back that I met her 40 years ago in October. So I thought, oh, what an ideal thing when she comes home. She hates, she was 14.
Thanks.
No.
I'll pay you later.
The ideal thing was, she doesn't like me to buy flowers for her, but I thought, I'm gonna do it anyway. And so I bought her some flowers and some chocolate. That's a good thing, guys. Always buy your wife's chocolate.
Yeah,
they'll love you
chocolate
forever. But I just wanted to share that insight. You know, sometimes in relationships with marriage, we have to not forget. And I said to the Holy Spirit, that's something, we're talking about conflicts today. As our segment of this seminar. And, you know, we're so often, we can remember things that niggle us or give us problems, but we need to remember the good things.
Yeah.
We really need to hold to the truth and, you know, rejoice in what God has given us.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Amen.
And every wife should rejoice in that. And every husband should realize that, you know, your wife is your glory. And if she's not shining, then that's a reflection on you. And so that's something that has always been a challenge to me, to make sure my wife glows. And if everybody loves my wife, then I'm doing okay, right? And she's the one that's the talker, and she's brought me out of just being able to declare things and open up a little bit. So Mike, don't worry, you're going to come through, brother. You know, sometimes with our wives, they're very vocal, they're very talkative, and they've got a gift. But we don't have to worry about that, guys, because, you know, if, I don't know about you guys, if you saw on Facebook someone putting down women ministry this last week, and I think they missed it. They really missed it, because God has put us together, male and female, to complement each other.
Amen.
And also for the whole counsel of God to come forth.
Yeah.
And so let's rejoice in our differences.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad I'm not like her, and she's so glad she's not like me. But the thing is that what we've learned as we're heading toward our 40th anniversary of marriage is that we're rubbing off on each other. And in the midst of those trials and tribulations, there is a benefit. There is a benefit, you know. She was always trying to get me to be skinny, so now she's joining me in the... No, she's going to get me for that one. We're all on the same challenges before God of walking and desiring to, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to develop and to bring us through into who He wants us to be. You know, we think that we've chosen our spouse, but in reality, God chose our spouse for us.
Yeah.
And over the years, you start to realize how much God loves us and is using, you know, our spouses to develop and to perfect that which concerns us. And so Luelle's going to share a few minutes and some things that she's been looking at, but then we're going to do a little bit of parlay with you. How many like parlays?
Yeah.
You know, it's just an interchange, and that's what we felt to do today as we share with you.
One of Dave's favorite verses, well, he's got loads of them, but that we're iron sharpening iron. So, and this is the closest thing that when it comes to conflict, so as you know, there's an adage that says opposites attract, and that's usually the way for marriage, that we find that one is more outgoing, one is more, tends to be a little bit quieter. And I think, I just thought I'd tell you, since Matt and Carol told their story, I thought I'd tell you our story before we actually get into the, and you can tell it too. He can chime in, I'll let him. I was quite young, and I was living in America, and I dated a couple of American men, and I'm like, you know, I was really wanting to live for the Lord and live godly, and I found the American men, but a little bit forward in terms of their expectations of where the relationship was going to go, and I'm like, no, not going there, I'm waiting. I'm going to live the way God's called me to live. And I hadn't all, like, I got a bit rebellious, so anyway, so my aunt started saying to me, oh, I've got this young man I want you to meet. And I'm like, Aunt B, I'm actually not interested. I don't want to meet any more American men. I'm going back to Australia, and I'm sure the Lord's got a lovely young man for me there. Anyway, she kept saying, oh, I think this one's going to think of you guys together. And I'm like, no. Anyway, she's beautiful. She's with the Lord now. But so my parents came to Sydney, and they were to LA where Dave lived, and they were speaking in a large church. And Dave was the assistant pastor in a Spanish-speaking congregation, which was part of this large church, Angelus Temple. And so my auntie, bless her, was best friends with Dave's mother for 25 years. So she sat me, you know, a little quiet. I was very quiet then, actually, and I was very, like, a bit afraid of saying anything out of turn. So here's my auntie on one side, and I could tell her no, but here's Dave's mum. So at the end of the service, she pops up, she goes, I'm going to go and get my son so you can meet him. And I'm like, okay. So she brings Dave back, and he comes with a bunch of flowers from the church. And I thought, oh, that's a bit weird. He loves, still to this day, he loves flowers, right? So so we just actually started talking. Both of us were talking, not just me.
Sure.
He can talk too. Anyway, so then the next day, Dad and the team were leaving, and my mum was coming with me to drive in my little car. I had this little car up to Washington State. My mum's American, so we pay her out because she says, oh, we're going to hang out the washing, and I'm from washing. We're like, washing, mum, it's washing. Anyway, she still says it to this day, 60 years later. But and we're in the car waiting, and she'd gone somewhere, and she goes, oh, she comes back to the car, and she goes, oh, I saw that young pastor, and he was in his little sports car. He came to see you and say goodbye. And I go, Mother, he did not. Like, he's not here to see me. He works here. And I'm like, anyway, but we just chatting, and I said, Mum, this is really weird. Like, I'd really given my life back to the Lord at 18, and I was now 19. But I said, Mum, this is really weird, but I think, I don't even know how I'm going to ever see this guy again, but I think that's going to be the man I'm going to marry. And I was expecting my mum to go, oh, honey, you know, that's a bit whatever. And she goes, oh, okay, we'll pray about it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And honestly, I didn't know how I'd see him again, except that I was coming back and my Aunt Bea, who was, you know, a little matchmaker. she met me at the airport and Dave was there. And, so the rest is history. Because she's like, she had this huge, big LTD Ford and she's like, oh, honey, I can't fit your bags in my boot. I'm like, in my trunk. And I'm like, Aunt B, sorry, I don't believe you. I was like, really, like, so she's like, oh, no, I've got Uncle Walt's golf clubs. And I'm like, open the boot. I want to have one. So she opened the boot and it was like, yeah, okay. She goes, I guess you'll have to go with your bag. And so I went with Dave and we chatted. And then he said, can we go for dinner tomorrow night? And then we saw each other every night. But but the thing is, sometimes you have to get established. We did. We had to get established that God has put us together. And while we say this in the marriage vows, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Sometimes I think because of the world that we live in, and like Pastor Matt and Carol were saying, there's not a great emphasis on people like actually honouring those vows. Like it used to be a man's handshake was his bond. They would do business back at the turn of the century with a handshake. Well, now you can get it in writing and, you know, you can get lawyers to get you out of that contract, you know. That's where we're at. And so for us at the beginning of our marriage, you know, many moons ago, I said, but I felt like to just share this because, you know, when you have a fight and then you were talking about conflict, I'm sure all you righteous people weren't like, I was 20 and I was like, oh, I thought I was getting the perfect husband and, you know, he's a pastor and all this. And by the way, I said I'd never marry a pastor because my dad's a pastor. So that was the other thing when Aunt Bea said, oh, he's a pastor. And I'm like, oh, then really no, Aunt Bea. But there is no way, you know, and
never say no.
Yeah, never say no to God. I've learned that definitely. Yeah. But, you know, we started when we get conflict is, you know, the D word started coming into our vocabulary, the divorce. Oh, okay, well, I'll just divorce you. First just starts with, oh, forget it, I'll just leave you. And then, so we, about a year into our marriage, because this D word was popping up a few times, we just actually made a covenant together never to use that word in any
conversation.
Because normally when you're heated, you say things that are out of character. And the thing is, we've got to be careful not to give the devil a foothold.
Yeah, that's good.
So the thing about conflict that we have to understand is just as we've got a threefold cord, which Carol talked about. So yesterday I was wanting to use this beautiful white cord to add onto a package that I was doing up for my friend, and it was all woven together, and I'm like trying to start to pull it apart, and I just was reminded of that example. Like the Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken, and so that when we've got the three of us wound in together and we understand that our covenant, as Pastor Carol so aptly put it, is not just with our spouse, it's actually with the Lord as well. And that everything we do is going to impact someone else, not just our children, but those people around us in the church environment. It's becoming easier and easier in America for couples to divorce because It's the trend now. Where does it start? It starts by one person throwing in the towel. And so the very thing that you have to remember is, as we're a threefold cord with the Lord, you've got to realize that you've actually got an enemy. You've got an enemy. And so the Bible says that the enemy strategizes against us.
Yeah.
That word has connotations that he's going to build a house against you. He's going to build a house against your marriage. He's going to say, I want the door to go there. I want the window to go there. And this little attack on marriage that is happening in the world today did not start 5 minutes ago. I was in Southwest University doing social welfare. Woo. And I had the lecturer come in and she sat down and she's like, well, don't expect the men in this class to fare as well as the women. And I was like sitting there going, I was like, what? I thought, you know, you're going to teach us how to be free thinkers. No, there was an agenda then. And then one of the other lecturers would not actually speak to a man if he put his hand up. So we're talking very left-wing, anti. So I had to do a paper, and the paper was on this particular book. And the book started, okay, you know, men and women working together in the field, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is all right. I get to the end of the book, and the first thing is, this is their conclusion, and I had to actually do my paper from that conclusion. And it said, abolish gender. Look where we are now. I just went, abolish the family. So we've got the two things that are actually actively coming to bear now. This is where we are. And it was the third thing, I can't even remember it, because I shut that book and I thought, I'm not going to write that just so I can get a good grade. So what I did was I really prayed a lot, because this woman had actually failed another girl who did a paper on, she was so biased, she had a doctorate. And we had to do a paper on ruling, schooling from a ruling class perspective or schooling from a working class perspective. Well, I don't even know a working class perspective. You know, I wasn't in an elite school or a private school, I was in a public school. So, but she'd come from actually Lebanon, and she'd been in a elite, well, a private school, and a lot of your children are in private schools. But so I said, what'd you do your paper on, working class perspective or ruling class perspective? And she goes, ruling class perspective. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? I go, she's gonna fail you. And I go, oh no, she probably won't fail you, but you won't get a good grade. I'm just telling you this so you know the premise of why, when it came to this book, I knew I was up against an agenda, and that's where we are now. So anyway, I'm leading somewhere with this. Anyway, so I was like, oh no, no, she's gonna fail you. And then I went, oh no, you just won't get a good grade. She was getting A pluses in, you know, all of her other subjects. And sure enough, she failed her. So I'm like, God, what am I gonna do? Like, this was our next paper for this lecture, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? And the Lord said, just stay true to what you believe. But I was careful in my approach that I didn't cross her. But I said, okay, so my conclusion was, I took from the front of the book that men and women work together, and I said, when men and women need to get back to the place of working together. And that was my conclusion. So the thing is that that is God's conclusion. And wherever the enemy tries to put a wedge between us in relationship, God actually created male and female in his likeness. He didn't just create male in his likeness, and he didn't just create female. He created us both. And so that there's, together, we are an example. So it says here in Ephesians, it says, I'm gonna just read, and Carol actually talked about this. This is a profound mystery. Do you want to know why the enemy is targeting marriages? Because it's a profound mystery. What is it saying? What is it revealing? What is this mystery revealed? It is, he says, Paul, but I am talking about Christ and the church. He's just spoken about, you know, marriage and the relationship and how it should work. But he's saying, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. We are the only visible picture of Christ and the church. Do you understand that? That's why the enemy is working overtime to rob and kill and destroy. So let's just go back a few verses, and we're going to start in verse 14, chapter 5 of Ephesians. And it says, wake up, sleeper! Arise from the dead, then Christ will shine on you. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, when Paul wrote this, it was probably, I don't know, maybe 60 AD. We're talking 2000 plus AD. Like the, you know, it's actually been in our generation that PCs, you know, were introduced. Like in the, what, 80s? Personal computer. So, you know, and in those days there was like a big screen this big, you know, and a big tower this high, and it was like, and where are we now? We're like this. This is your walking PC. So all this to say, where we have gone technology-wise, where we are going, and this is one of the signs of the end times, if you're not aware, is that knowledge will increase. Well, knowledge is on a scale that is exponential at the moment, and that's just one thing. But this is saying, it's saying to the church, awake out of your slumber. You've got to understand where we are in history, you know, because I'm telling you, this final move of God is going to be every single joint supplying. The Billy Grahams, and God's going to use all of us so powerfully to a degree that every single joint is going to supply something. And if we're out of joint, how are we going to supply? And so the biggest thing that the enemy will try and do is to bring a wedge between our relationship, because number one, it's a picture. Your relationship is a picture of Christ. Amen. In the earth today.
That's good.
And I remember at my work, you know, they were talking about same-sex marriage, and we had an email sent to us that, you know, no one will contradict the LGB agenda, you know, vocally. And we were having a discussion about this, and I had to be absolutely very careful. But I said, you know, the only thing I don't get is why they want to call it marriage. I said, God actually, you know, and if you look at the picture, I spent so many years, you know, where we started to be called partners. Okay, that's your partner, and, you know, what's the agenda there? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone famous marries and they're immediately calling their wife, their husband, and I'm like, hang on a minute, this is an agenda. And so I started saying, oh, no, not my partner, my husband. Yeah. because I wanted to actually make a statement to say, hey, so I said at my work, I said, why have they taken the name marriage? I said, call it something else. Yeah. Mm. Call it whatever you like. I said, but God ordained marriage. And so this is the thing that we've got to understand. There's a much more diabolical attack on marriage in this generation than there was even in former generations. And even what Carol was reading in from Malachi, the man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, does violence to the one, the Lord God of Israel does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord or God. So in other words, who we should be protecting, who we should be standing for, who we should be supportive of, we actually get into a mode of fighting against. And so one little thing under there that I've underlined in Dave's Bible, because I didn't bring my Bible. We share Bibles too. But I said, it says here, so be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. And it says the same thing here in Ephesians. Christians, we've got to be on guard. This is the most important thing that we've got to protect. And, you know, I could tell you our story, and we've had ups and downs, and, you know, because the attacks on the marriage are getting more strategic. So what you do in a marriage, you know, you come into a marriage and your expectation is you've married the perfect person. He was a pastor anyway. He should have been perfect.
Pressure.
And he married an Aussie, so she should have been perfect, right? But, you know, then you got into the mix his selfishness and my selfishness, and then you have a few trials of life. And you compound those together, you add children, where your love goes out to those children, and sometimes your love for your husband, women, got to be careful of this, can actually take a second place. And I mean, a lot of you are past that. So, but, you know, you mix it all together and you don't always come up with good results. We've got to actually realise what the Word of God is saying when it comes to conflict, that we are sinful by nature. Mm. We are being renewed, but we're still in the process of being made perfect. I tell you, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And even when Pastor Matt said to me, I'm like, I want to speak about that. I'm like, sometimes I'm mean to my husband. And Jimmy Evans says, truth without grace is mean. And so sometimes we think, right, he needs to know the truth now.
Right? But set me free.
Deliver me from evil. No, but we need to take a step back, seriously, because in God, it's about grace and truth. And that's why God puts us together, so we can be iron sharpening iron, because I'd be probably a very mean person if it wasn't for Dave. He's, you know, a gracious kind of person. So it's like Matt and Carol. I can see a mean side of Matt. No,
he's just
going to
confess, he's way nicer than me.
Oh, no, he's like bright eyes. You just think, oh, man, this couple could do no wrong. Like, they're just so... But we're all, we've all got selfish tendencies. We've all got, I want it my way. There's like songs written about it. I did it my way. But grace without truth. So truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless. So you can't just sit back and go, oh yes, it's all good, it's all, you know. Because seriously, then we're not speaking truth. Actually, this is Jimmy Evans saying this. I loved it. So truth without grace is surgery without anesthesia. Yeah. Hello. Let's do a bit of surgery here. I'll just cut you right to the quick. Grace without truth is like a cheerleader without a team. You're just going nowhere. You're not doing anything. But grace and truth together is powerful. So us together, whichever part of the marriage is grace and truth, is a marriage waltz, as my husband would say. So the thing is that in those marriage vows, it says that for better, for worse, for sickness, richer, for poorer, sickness and in health. And you find sometimes, like us, when they say there's a few things that are actually marriage killers, and we've been through a few of those, haven't we? Like actually moving house across the world, you really have to then do some extra nice little things in your relationship, because the stress level on that, and that's where we as the church need to come around this beautiful couple that have given up their life in America and God's called them here. Let's support them. That's just another adage. But we've got to understand, looking out for one another, where the enemy wants to try and bring people down. You know, because they've, Pastor Matt and Carol just shared with you, the enemy tried to get her to give up, to throw the towel in, to go, this is all too hard. And the bigger the battle, the greater the victory. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it's in marriage or ministry, and I think we talked about the fact that any ministry has to start in our home. You know, we were by no means perfect parents, but we really lived by trying to, you know, instill in our children that, you know, this is actually real. The love relationship that we have with the Lord is, and with one another. So we're not going to get it right. That's where the redemption and the grace of God comes in. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Another research shows, and it's just really a little key, because you know sometimes we can get worked up, and the enemy will just start showing you little things that your husband's done, like burn the toast and or whatever. Just go picking on Matt and Carol. Carol burns a toast. We know that about you now, Carol. So.
I am so wicked.
If that's all you do, honey, that's okay. But research says that the first 3 minutes of a conversation will dictate the outcome of the conversation. So if the conversation is starting bad, like if you've, thought, oh, I'm sick of it, the way he burns a toast every time. And actually, I was just thinking about this, you know, we had that story about this really old couple, and I'm going to tell them that joke. It's not really a joke, it's a bit sad actually, but they're like, you know, old.
Golden and anniversary.
It's really kind of decrepit, and so he comes and brings her a piece of toast, and he brings her the toast, which is the crust. Now, so when I first married Dave, he liked the crust, and I liked the soft, fluffy white. Well, now I love the crust, right? Yeah? I don't know if he likes a fluffy white, no. I've become more like him, thank the Lord. Anyway, something happened and she flicked a bit, and she's like, I'm sick of this. Year after year after year after year, you've given me the crust of the bread. You've given me the last part of the bread and I'm sick of it. I've had enough of you. So, and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. That's my favorite part. So I was giving it to you all these years. So this is the thing about communication. It's like you'd feel really bad getting to the end of your marriage and you've been sacrificing for your wife. That's why, you know, the five love languages is important. It's not that I don't like flowers, but it's just that, you know, we've been in pressing times financially, and so I'd rather have a plant that's going to, you know, and I'm a bit practical that way. If I want to buy flowers, I look for a plant because I'm like, it's going to be sustainable. It's like ongoing and it's beautiful. So, but I love those flowers. So, all that to say is that, I'll get back to my point. Okay, so he was actually laying down his life for his wife. That was his favourite part, and that's why for me it's always stuck in my mind, because Dave's favourite part is the crust, and now I've seen the blessing of the crust when it's toasted. I can't believe you guys don't eat bread and toast. Isn't that part of like Australian?
We gave it up.
Gave it up, yeah. Okay, I'm giving it up too. So the thing is, if the conversation is going to start like that, I'm sick of you. Why are you making me all these years you've given me the crust of the bread, and you know it's not going to go well unless you've got a very gracious husband. So, oh, that was my favourite part, but that's usually not the way it goes. The way it goes is, well, you've never given me anything good. What are you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, so reaction.
It, yeah. When you start a conversation, yelling, threatening, name calling, you know the outcome is not going to be good. You have to just take that point to go, okay, I'm going to take time out. And I'm going to come back to this conversation at another time. Because, look, that statistics show that if you start the conversation, and this is why we talked about grace, you know, you can't just have truth. It just cuts, it hurts, it's bitter. But if it's seasoned with grace, so how about this conversation? Babe, I just need to talk. I don't know, it just might be me. But you can see it's already seasoned in grace, but something's bothering me. It's really hard when you're looking right at them in front of all these people. I could have just got up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes it is that. Sometimes it's that someone may not have had a good night's sleep. Sometimes the husband's come home from work, he's tired. Sometimes the women have been with, you know, running children around, school, lunches, breakfast, dinner, and then, you know, the husband comes home and puts his feet up. You know, so the thing is, it's about actually seasoning it with grace, so that as Christians, we've got to have truth, because they say that this makes healthy relationships, is that if we've got truth. But if you've got truth without grace, it's very painful.
I want to go back to what Matt said about being able to hear one another.
Yeah.
A lot of times we hear, but we're not really listening.
Yeah. That's
our insane. Mind is already progressing to how we're going to respond.
Yeah.
I hear you. I can see your lips moving, but I don't understand a word you're saying because I'm getting ready to answer you.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what we had to have some marriage counseling where we went and the counselor said, now, time out. You need to say what she just said. well, wait a minute, I was trying to respond to what she was going to say. No, you need to say what she just said.
Yeah, that's good.
And in exactly what you said, Matt, in regards to us being people that listen. Because a lot of times we don't listen. We're just ready to give our two cents. And that was my guilt. She's a very expressive person, able to talk very good. And I'm a bit of slow to speak. You know, I'm a Moses saying, send Aaron, you know. But in the midst of it, guys, take this on, you know, to heart, because a lot of times our wives, you know, because they can multitask, they can get around us. And so that's why we, you know, sometimes don't listen as well as we should, because we're trying to get up there to be able to express
and
answer or fix the problem, whatever. Yeah, we try to fix it.
Men feel they have to fix the problem, where sometimes women just want to verbalize.
See, she's fixing it already. So in regards to that, we just have to be able to listen and really say, I'm hearing what you said.
Yeah.
And then allow each other, you know, that interchange, because when we don't, that's where the problem comes. The problem comes, I can see your mouth moving, but I don't hear a word you're saying. And that breaks down communication. And if communication breaks down, then every other area is going to break down. On the areas of sex, on the areas of finances, you know, you start building walls, you got hurts on the inside, you know, you suppress it, you push it down, and it's
That's
very unhealthy.
The three. Yeah, they say the three biggest problems, killers of marriage are communication, which we're talking about, and conflict and how to solve it, and money. And that's why it's important to get your money situation worked out as well, and sex. And obviously, Pastor Matt sort of talked about that, but, you know, that, there's this whole thing. I just was reminded of, so the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. You can actually see this online. It's called Sheep Among Wolves. And the women, the husband and the wife, when they pray together before they leave for the day, they know that it could mean they're laying down their body. If they get caught, the woman will get raped, and sometimes, you know, in front of the man, and then the man will get beaten or killed or whatever. So the thing is that our body is actually not our own, and I think we read that in one of the scriptures, that, you know, there's a time apart, and, you know, we've had to, I'm just going to tell the truth, but, you know, you get to a point where, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to turn that thing off, but women and men don't have the same sex drive. So men, they say that men, his first need is, there's a book called His Needs, Her Needs, fantastic. And man's greatest need, according to this, and obviously there's an exception to every rule, but by rule, the men's greatest need is sex, and the woman's greatest need is communication and to feel valued. So the thing is, it's the conflict of when those two things aren't being met, then it can become a downward spiral. And sometimes you need someone. We've helped, like Pastor Matt said, we've helped so many couples walk through relationship issues, and then we had it ourselves. You know, we were ready to just call it a day, but we said, well, hang on, you know, we've actually helped other people through this. We're gonna get help ourselves. We're gonna, you know. So don't be afraid to say to someone, can you pray with me?
Yeah, that's good.
Because the thing is, in Christ, you know, we've got to be there for one another. So, what Dave was saying, yeah, we've got time, we're time, but I want you to actually go over this Ephesians 5, because I've actually focused on the part that leads up to that, and it's talking about being careful, awake, O sleeper, understand, let the light of the Lord shine upon you. But can I just encourage you, there's a real thing in the church that we kind of, and there's nothing wrong, like the Bible says a little bit of wine is good for the stomach, and you know, so I'm not preaching about, or we're not, Dave's a teetotaler, well he's not, he'll have the occasional taste of something, but it says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, and debauchery is basically immorality. So just a caution, because there's a thing in the church in places where they're getting more and more involved in drinking alcohol, and it can actually lead you down a wrong road. So just be careful of that. It's just like the Word of God saying, what's going to be set me is not what's going to be set you. What's going to be set David is not going to be what besets Matt. And that's what Hebrews says. It says, laying aside every weight and the sin that wants to beset you. This is the time we are in history where there's such an onslaught against marriage, an onslaught against the church, an onslaught. And so I just want to encourage you here. The next line says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yeah. And then it talks about wives submit to your husband. But before it goes there, it says submit to one another. So, you know, if there's that mutual sense of, hey, you know what? You've got something valuable to add and I've got something valuable to add. Each person is so valuable to the kingdom, because in Christ, there actually is neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond or free. Because once someone, if they're a slave in those times, they were made free in Christ. And so, and I actually wrote that in my, I wrote that in my paper to this very biased woman. And she didn't fail me, but because I didn't come against her ideology, I said the Bible is the most freeing message for women. And I quoted it, and she circled it and read it, and she said, this is irrelevant. I'm going, oh, but you got the Word of God. You know, because it is relevant. We are the answer, church. We are the answer for this season that we live in. And what's going to happen is where this diabolical sexual agenda has happened. You know, remember the last sexual revolution? Where, you know, women were burning their bras or whatever. There was such a move of God. It was called the Jesus
Revolution.
You know, so what's going to happen is this final move of God, this is what we've got to be shoring ourselves up for. Because it's when we get into these times that we have to go, no, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And don't be afraid to say, hey, I need help. Can you guys talk with us? Can you pray with us? And we want to support you as pastors. That's what our heart, and I think you've heard it both from all of us, is that it's got to start in the home. The home is the church, and then you've got the bigger church, and then you've got the universal church. So I think...
Kylie's got a question up there.
Can I just say something? Is it,
yeah.
I just wanted to share with you guys that recently the Lord just put on my heart to go to focus on the family, and there's a whole series of podcasts on there called Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, and there's 6 sessions, and it really blessed me, and I just wanted to quickly share that the Lord put on my heart to listen to one session in particular, and the couple who did the talk were talking about how sometimes we can close our hearts off,
yeah,
and we can harden our hearts.
Yeah.
And the Lord was just really saying to me, you harden your heart, towards your husband. You've hardened your heart. And I was so convicted by that, because if you'd come up to me and asked me that, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have identified that to be the case. And the Lord also showed me other people who I'd hardened my heart against, because I just had just some deep issues going on in my heart where I felt betrayed. And so I was just like, I'm just shutting down because I don't want to feel pain, you know? And this guy was sharing, saying his dad's a family and marriage relationship expert. He's written books on this stuff. And his dad and his mum had this massive fight in front of the whole family at Christmas. And it was, you know, they were yelling and screaming at each other. And he said he felt he had to go help his dad. And he didn't know what to say to his dad because his dad's the expert. And his dad was sitting behind his computer, you know, looking at the computer screen, just staring at it. He's like, "Here, Dad, read one of your books. I'm sure it'll be okay," you know. And his dad's just like, but he went around and sat next to his dad, and he's like, "Dad, what are you doing?" And his dad had opened up this file on his computer, and on this file, it listed off all of the wonderful things about his mum, all of the wonderful things about his wife. And he's like, "What are you doing, Dad?" He's like, "I'm reading this file. It's I think her name was Maria or something, or Marion. I'm reading the Marion file, and in the Marion file were all the wonderful things that he loved about his wife." And he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, I read this and I'm angry and upset with her, and the first couple of lines I'm like, well, I'm deleting that one, I'm getting rid of that, that's not true, you know." But by the time he gets to the end of the file, and he adds to it, you know, he was adding to it. He's like, it was pages long, this document.
Yeah.
He's adding to it. And he said, "By the time I get to the end of this, my heart is soft again towards your mum. And I realise, you know, where I should be, where my heart should be towards her." And I thought, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I haven't done that, I'm gonna be honest with you, I haven't done that, but I wanna do that, because I think having the right heart towards one another, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of feeling frustrated, in the midst of being angry and upset, which is what happens when you do life with anybody at some point, is really key. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys. It's called Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. And they also have a series of called Preparing to Wed as well. But it's really good, and I just thought, if you guys want to listen to some practical things to help because sometimes in the middle of disagreement you don't know what to do, but there were some really practical things that you could look at in that series, and it was really good.
So what we'll do is we'll get the links to those podcasts and we'll send them out to the New Hope private group, so it'll be on the Facebook private group. People want to check them out.
I have to pay for them because I subscribe to Focus on the Family, but they're on the family class, and you might be able to, I might be able to look at the journal website again.
We'll search them up and find them. All right, so I'm going to pray in just a moment, and Carol's got something to share.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share, thanks for coming, and you know what, we've just shared what we felt God wanted us to today, but it's such a massive amount that we could share on a marriage, right? I mean, I think today we've just touched on such a tiny bit. I think understanding the covenant that we have, I think if we go and study that a little deeper, you know, the things that Matt touched on, the things that Pastor Dave and Luelle touched on, I think these are just touching on something. Mm-hmm. But it's a time, I believe, that God wants us to self-evaluate our marriages, with Him in light of it.
Sure.
So we just want to pray for you in light of that.
Yeah.
But please, we just want to encourage, we're going to do more of this kind of thing. So, and go deeper with God. And we also want to do something for the singles as well.
So what we're going to do is, I'm just aware that people have kids and we promised them we wouldn't go too long and everything. So I'll say a quick prayer now. And then we're going to be available up the front if you want us to pray for you as a couple. So come up to us if you want some prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all of these precious people that have come today, Lord God, beautiful couples. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the words from your heart that were shared today. Lord, all the words from you, may they bear much fruit. All the words from us, let them just fall away.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, God, that the seed that's been sown will be watered and will bear much fruit. I pray for healthy marriages,
yes, God.
Healthy relationships, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we'll be able to divorce-proof our marriages,
yes, God.
A fair-proof our marriages, that we will always keep you at the center, that we'll be men and women who pray and worship and study the Word of God together, that we minister to one another, that we have a strong foundation in our marriages. And we thank you for victory over the enemy in the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, God.
We thank you that every plan of the enemy is demolished in the name of Jesus. And every plan of yours is established in our homes. We pray, Lord God, for a blessing on our children, a blessing on our finances, a blessing on our sex lives, Lord God, a blessing on our health, on every area of our lives. Lord God, that you'll give us a vision to have a marriage that is one flesh, that honors you, and that influences many lives, Lord God, that we can be a witness to others of how to have a godly marriage. We pray, Lord, for your anointing. We can only do it through the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we're asking you, fill us with your Holy Spirit and raise us up to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. We thank you for your blessing on each one and bless us as we go. And we just pray, Lord, that we can not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, if you do have to go, God bless you.
I just want to say...
Yes.
Interrupt you, Matt.
Yes,
I just
want
to say thank you, guys, for everything you've done.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to propose a toast to Matt and Carol for a bit of tongue in cheek there.
A toast.
A toast. And also to David and Lowell. We now know, Dave, what you do for a crust.
Oh, nice. No,
and just so I can finish it off, it all makes sense. We had a bit to do with bread, and we know what Jesus did with a loaf of bread.
Amen. All right, guys, if you have to get your children, then you've got to go. God bless you, and may he keep you and make his face shine on you. If you want some prayer, come up. We'd love to pray with you.
Cool.